helpless, to have the spiritual lift that is needed, as we humans are not able to grasp the things of God apart from His help. And we pray that we may have it this morning, in spite of all that we are and all that we are not, in spite of all that we have and all that we have not. May the Spirit of Christ minister to our hearts here today. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to turn to the fifth chapter of Galatians again for a little bit. And we're talking now about the fruit of the Spirit. Those things that we can believe that the Spirit of God does in us. There are many things that are promised in Christendom, many claims that are made about what the Spirit does that are not satisfied. Those are the claims. I'm not saying that the Spirit does not satisfy. The claims, the things that people claim that the Spirit does for you when you are saved, sometimes are beyond that which you can expect. Now, of course, immediately someone says, well, how can you ever say anything that is beyond God? Well, it isn't quite what we're saying. We're saying that the work of the Spirit in our hearts is not like a patent medicine that is a cure-all for every human malady. So I do not want you to expect more than you should. For example, you cannot expect, as I've tried to point out to you, cannot expect that you're going to always be healed from your diseases, contrary to many, many statements from others. There is no confirmation in the Scripture that says that everyone who is a Christian ought to be healed from every disease. Because if that were the case, if that's what the Bible promised, I would say that 75% of Christendom was not getting help. There are far too many instances, far too many cases in the Word where people have been allowed to suffer. Job, for example, was allowed to suffer illnesses, maladies, and he was not delivered from those. So there are claims that you cannot actually depend upon. I cannot promise to you. I can promise to you by the Word of God that He will do a work in your spirit that will make it possible for you to relate to God in peace. It will make it possible for you to cope with life as it is. You may not always have your circumstances changed, but you will have the capacity within your spirit to cope with the circumstances. And you will find the Spirit of God bringing about growth in your life. If you are ever tempted to be discouraged and to think that God is not doing anything in you, I urge you to stop and ask yourself, where was I a year ago? Where was I 2 years ago? Or three or five? And you may be surprised to find that things are quite a bit better inside of you. Now, if you think you're not growing fast enough, then let me urge you not to kill a good thing. As long as you are growing a bit, that's all to the good. Don't try to speed up the growth. You'll wreck the thing. Don't speed up the train. It's like an old car. If you buy a used automobile, and it's got 75,000 miles on it, and maybe it's been driven by the proverbial old lady in Pasadena. Apologies to all the elderly, including myself. And so you think this is a marvelous automobile. it's just had such special care, and this woman has never driven it over 35 miles an hour, and she's gone shopping in Pasadena, and the car is 10 years old, and it doesn't look like it ever got out of the dealer's showroom floor. So you take the car, you buy it, you go out on the freeway, and you drive 65, 70 miles an hour. Pretty soon, you're going to have trouble. You're going to push the car too fast. As long as you kept driving 35 miles an hour, it might last. But you see, it's not conditioned for speed. Now, you have your own pace. It's very important to pace yourself in life. If you know anything about hiking at all, long-distance hikes especially, you pace yourself. Just slow, steady progress. I've taken lots of people hiking, lots of groups, lots of young men. You look at some young man, and he's a stalwart specimen of manhood. He gets out on the trail and he folds up. Why? Because he thinks he's going to just rush ahead, and he takes shortcuts, and he's going to beat the whole gang there. And it isn't long before he's wasted. You've got to pace yourself. You've got to pace yourself in your work. You've got to pace yourself in your sleep. Some people can get along on a few hours of sleep. Some people need a lot of hours of sleep. Pace yourself in your faith. Paul tells us that. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, he says in Romans 12:3. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly, level-headedly, as God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. God measures faith to you. The word to you this morning, a very important word, pace yourselves. Be at peace. You're going to have peace if you pace yourself. If you try to rush ahead and push ahead, you're going to have trouble. So if you look at your life and you see some growth, a little bit of growth, you may look at somebody else and say, oh, there's so much growth there. Well, that's like the water shoots on a plant. They got a piece. You go out to some fruit tree you've got and you'll get a little straight branch that'll shoot up off the main branch and it'll go very quickly, but you won't get any fruit on it. Be very wary of quick growth. Just take it a notch at a time. And if you're inclined to be discouraged about your life, you look at yourself a year ago or 2 years ago, you'll find that we've grown. You're different today. If you try to look over the last week, you may not be satisfied. But if you look back over a year, it's just like with dieting. They tell you don't weigh yourself every day. That's the worst thing in the world you can do to diet, because your progress is not going to be noticeable enough. You're going to get discouraged. And it goes up and down. You may be able to go a little back one day and a little forward another. By the same token, don't keep weighing in on your faith. Don't examine your faith. Don't pinch yourself to see if you're alive. Don't feel your pulse. Don't keep looking under the rocks and don't see if there's any bugs under there. And don't pull up the plants and look at the roots to see if it's growing or not. Just be at peace. Peace. Trust the Spirit of Christ. That is the work of the Spirit in you to bring about growth. It is not your work. If I offer you systems of spiritual growth, and there are thousands of books written on systems of spiritual growth, for the most part, it's a waste of your time to read. This may be a fine system for the fellow that wrote it. It may have worked beautifully in his life or her life, but the main issue is what about your own life? And you can't pace yourself in terms of somebody else. I've been over that quite a bit with you, but I want you to get that point deeply. It's God's purpose and task and provision to bring about growth inside. Now, my task is to give you the Word. I can't stretch you out, make you grow. I can just give you the Word. And the Spirit of God must make you grow. And you can't stretch yourselves out. But I've got to leave that word with you. Many a person has been sidetracked or unseated by the problem of always examining their faith and always measuring themselves and trying to push themselves along to grow faster. And it's not good. Let the Spirit do that in you. Now, we've gone over these fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. There are a couple of more I want to talk about today. We were talking about faith when we concluded last week. Remember again that the general purpose of my bringing these things out to you and the writer of Paul, the writer of Galatians, his purpose was not to set a standard before you, but to tell you what is going on. If you have Christ in your spirit, this is what is going on. Not what should be going on, but what is going on. And if you see these things on two fleshly levels, so we've been trying to present them to you on a spirit level. If they're on a fleshly level, you're going to be disappointed. If you're looking at it from the flesh, if you say to yourself, now of course the words here are love, joy, peace. We've told you, if you look at that on a fleshly level, if you examine your life to look at the turbulence there and you say, well, I don't have peace, is the Spirit in me? We've gone into all of those things. There are outward surface things in your life that may not be what is actually going on inside. There is the peace of the Spirit of God in you, if His Spirit is there, but you may have turbulence in your life, trouble. You will have the presence of the Spirit giving joy, and we've discussed that word joy, and yet outwardly life may be unhappy for you now. It isn't the outward facade that is important, it's the inner work of grace. People look at your life, your family, your friends. They look at you and they say, my, I can't understand why that person is so awful. I can't understand why they act like they do. I thought they were supposed to be Christians, and look at the way they're acting. When they start criticizing you, especially your family, just stop and remember that they're only looking at the outward. They're not looking at the inner spirit. God knows what He's doing in your life. And so all you have to say to them is, well, look, I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished yet. By the same token, growth is a gradual thing. Let us say you plant a garden, a vegetable garden. You want to take your friend to see the vegetable garden. You've just got a little sprout coming up all the way around your garden. Little sprouts. And they say, my, that's a terrible garden. How can you ever expect to eat anything out of that? You say, wait a minute, this has not grown yet. It's not grown. Come back in a few weeks. Come back in a month or two. People look at you and they say, my, you're such an itty-bitty thing. You're just not even worth looking at. That's right, I understand that. But wait. Wait, there's growth there. All right, so in spite of all that you may see to the contrary on the surface in your life, stop and consider the fact, always, stop and measure this only, that you're involved with Christ. Something inside is going on. It may be your salvation, that is to say, the salvation of your peace and your contentment in Christ. When you're discouraged, stop and remember, forever remember that you care about Christ. You're hanging on. You want Him in your life. And you think about Him and you pray to Him. And you wouldn't do those things if His Spirit were not in you. And therefore, peace is there. Love is there. Joy is there in measured amounts. Not developed yet, but it's there. Anytime you reach out to another human being in care, the Spirit is reaching out. Not in the humanitarian gesture of the salving of conscience. I'm not talking about humanitarianism. Humanitarianism has a lot of inconsistencies in it. Some of the notable humanitarians of our society who happen to represent the world of the cinema, they have been very notable humanitarians, but their performance of late has been less than consistent. And once they created or helped to create the conditions where millions of people have been slaughtered and oppressed and treated brutally, now they've abandoned the project to rush on to other things that they can disconcert. I'm sure the humanitarian thinks he's doing what's right, and I don't fault him for that. But human kindness that is of the flesh, human kindness that does not come from the Spirit of Christ, is likely to be very inconsistent and pretty hard to maintain. Many of the leaders of the old campus revolutions in the 60s today have given up that battle, and now they're sitting in corporate offices and joining the establishment. That's a universal. Many, perhaps the great majority of the leadership of campus revolutions in the 60s are today members of the establishment, drawing their paycheck like everybody else from the same sources they were blasting not too long ago. So humanitarianism is not what we're talking about. But care about people as God cares about people is something else. And if you care about people in God's way, you know you have His Spirit within you. So that is the love of Christ. And then the long-suffering we talked about, and which means that you stay with the body of believers. You may not like everybody greatly. You may have difficulty with people. Long-suffering is indicated not by the fact that you like everybody, but by the fact that you stay together. Well, that's the long-suffering. And we talked about the graciousness, the outward expression of the inward love of Christ in being kind to people. Being kind to them. You do not have to ever be unkind to people. You may not like them. You may not appreciate the way they live. You may be hurting inside from your own troubles. But you do not have any excuse to hurt people, to be careless with them. You girls, if you've had a struggle all day, the babies have been screaming, the wash machine doesn't work, the bills are due, everything is a mess. Now, your husband comes home at night from work. He's worked very hard that day. By all standards, he's not the world's greatest husband. We all accept that point. Lots of things you'd like to change in him. But why not be kind to him? I've often said, if you're going to share your problem with someone, you have a right maybe to indulge your mood. If you're not going to share it, don't indulge it. You come back with the old thing, I don't want to talk about it. You're not being very kind. If you don't want to talk about it, don't express it. Just be kind. You don't have to laugh. You don't have to be always smiling. But be kind. Later, if you want to talk about your problems, sit down and talk about them. After dinner, especially. Don't make him eat dinner with all your troubles poured out along with the soup and the beef. Find a time when you can sit down and say, look, here are the troubles I have. Now, it isn't that we have to be angelic. It isn't that you're not or have a right to be angry, or you have a right to be upset, and we have a reason to be upset, but you don't have to take it out on other people. If your first thought is how can I help my partner? You'll be less inclined to take things out on them. And maybe a little kindness will win a lot more for you than anger and bitterness. Now, the presence of the Spirit of Christ in you gives you the capacity to do that. But doing it must be in the Spirit. That is to say, when you start thinking of all the things that are wrong, ask yourself first, but how does Christ want me to relate to this husband or wife? The same thing is true, of course, for the husbands. They come home, they've had a hard day at work, and if they start screaming at the wife or yelling at her or something, they're really out of order. Maybe you've had lots of problems at work. But the need is to soften things with kindness. So anyway, the spirit of kindness is there. And we talked about goodness, your general attitude toward the world and toward life and toward God is good and not evil. Agathosune in the Greek means an attitude of benevolence toward God and the world, an attitude that seeks morality rather than immorality, that is concerned about righteousness rather than unrighteousness, is a quality of the spirit of goodness. Then we had the idea of faith last week, and we started into that again on the word faith, and we'll conclude with this. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's not a matter of suddenly deciding that because you're afraid of hell, you're going to jump into the bosom of God. You cannot believe anything unless there is a conviction within to believe it. You cannot say to yourself, well, I'm going to say I believe in God even though I don't know whether he exists or not. There's no way to have faith by simply an act of the will to say, I'm going to believe. That's why he said last week, faith must be initiated by the Spirit of Christ within you. It is a function of the Spirit. The mind will never bring you to faith, but the mind can accommodate the evidences that bring you to faith. There are various degrees of faith. But conviction, the kind of conviction to say I believe that God exists, I believe in Jesus Christ, can only come from the Holy Spirit in you that believes in spite of all the evidences to the contrary. The Spirit of Christ takes the issues of life and translates them into faith. The idea that there is a being, a supreme being, behind all of that is valid. It's a valid idea. But a figure, a personal intelligence, has put all of this together. But that is a rational thought. It helps to confirm our faith, but it doesn't produce faith. Many, many things in the world are footprints of the Creator. There's a lot of beauty in the world that we feel is beyond the capacity of man to produce. These are footprints of the Creator. But there are also a lot of evils in the world. There are a lot of bad things in the world. A lot of ugliness in the world. And that tends to offset the idea of God or the goodness of God. So the mind is there processing the ideas. Does God exist or not? To be able to believe that God exists requires an energy of faith, the power of the Spirit of God. If you have come here today with some confidence that sitting here has meaning and purpose, that you are not amiss to pursue God. If you've come with that idea, only the Spirit can give you that idea. And you will find as you turn to Him that He turns to you. I gave you the analogy that you don't turn to Mickey Mouse. You don't read a comic book and say, well, I wonder if Donald Duck is our figure. No, that's absurd. Even to talk about it's absurd. You don't even think of Peter Pan or Superman or anybody else with any serious consideration. Why? Because it does not enter your head that there is anything there that has validity to it. There's anything there of faith. You come with the concern that there is something out there. Let me caution you about trying to test your feelings of faith. Faith is an energy of the Spirit and not a feeling of the heart. There may be many reasons why a mechanical device, an electrical device, does not work. You turn the switch on your lamp, it doesn't go on. You put the toast on the toaster, it doesn't toast. Many things don't work. You find out what's wrong, but you don't say, I guess energy doesn't exist. You don't say that. The energy exists, and it flows through the conduit, whether you feel good about it or not. If today you're in a down mood and you don't feel very good about God, or about yourself, or about your friends, or anyone else, don't ask yourself, I wonder if I have faith. The faith is a flowing essence within your life. It's a flowing current from the Spirit of God and not something you build up by thinking about it and imagining it. You may think that you don't get your prayers answered if you don't feel good about your faith. What does the Bible say? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But think of this. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't even ask Him. You don't talk to the wall. You don't talk to the mailbox. You see, you have something in there that says to you, pray. That's faith. Don't bother about whether you feel good about the faith or not. There may be many reasons why you would feel uneasy about a situation and why you can't be sure God is going to answer that prayer the way you want it. You may be very sure that you're not worthy of it. All of these things are true. But do not assume that the prayer will not be answered unless you feel good about it. Just go ahead and pray anyway. You're not supposed to be trusting your trust. You're supposed to be trusting God. You don't have faith in your faith, you have faith in God. So don't trust your feelings of faith. Trust the Spirit of Christ in you. This thing of claiming promises is a tricky thing. You can claim the promise that God is going to help you, but you cannot guarantee exactly what He's going to do. You got a person that needs to be healed and you're praying for them, the Lord may heal them miraculously. But don't claim something that you can't be certain is going to happen. There are just too many people in the world that don't get healed who are just as good Christians as those that do. You're going to throw everything into confusion if you try to give God His mandates, as some people do. Just pray and trust. And don't try to build up some kind of artificial confidence when the human brain is not really capable of that kind of confidence anyway. Trust the spirit of faith within you and not the feeling of faith in your head. Because your head can get you fouled up in many different ways. All right, I'm going to quit here. We've got more to go, but let's stop. Our Father, we thank You for these moments this morning of faith, moments of the Word, of truth. We pray the Spirit will minister to the heart of each one here in spite of everything and fulfill His purpose in our lives. In Christ's name, Amen.